How to please our Father. You know, it is Father's Day, and I know how rough some of you old boys have it, and this is your day, all right? The same as that Mother's Day comes along. But above all, we have one Father. And as it is written in the book of Ezekiel, all souls are mine. That's our Father speaking. I repeat, all souls are mine. In other words, your soul belongs to Him, and He's going to do with it whatever you got coming. All right? Now, some of you that are good servants, hey, you got it made. You're all right. You know? But there are some people in the world that I would hate to see their page of life, their book, page rather out of the book of life, because it's not going to look too good. Now, with this having been said, what is wisdom? Boy, we've got some pretty sharp people in this world, and they keep looking for ways to do it themselves, you know? Hey, I can teach a monkey to push buttons, okay? You can teach a monkey to do most anything in this world, just about. And we can even program computers where they can do probably what you can do in the world. And then we have this type of person that will come along and God's Word's not quite good enough. We're going to go past that. We're going to get into the really deep stuff. You know, it's stuff they're getting into, all right? Because if you ever get wise enough to really get to the bottom of God's Word, you're doing pretty good. What is my point? I don't care how successful you are in life. If you're not happy, you're not too smart. You mean to say that again? I don't care how successful you are in life, if you haven't found peace of mind, you're kind of dumb. I don't care how good you are at what you do in the world. Because a wise person knows that peace of mind, with the only true wisdom there is, comes from our Father. You draw your strength from our Father. You draw your wisdom from our Father. And sometimes in the world, you know when to zip this thing, like in your own family, and you know when to unzip it. Because that's true wisdom, is being able to have peace in your own home. Again, I don't care how successful you are. If you don't have that, boy, are you missing out. If you haven't found how to humble yourself before our Father, and to recognize as an example, let me pick an example. Psalms 22, written a good 900 years ago. I'm sorry, that'd be 2,900 years ago today. But before the event, that is to say Christ's crucifixion, repeating even down to the words that came out of a false chief priest's mouth, the Russian soldiers gambling for his clothing, written 900 years before the fact. And when Christ would be addressed, many times he would say, haven't you read? You see, it's there, God's plan. And it is the plan that gives you strength. Have you never read Ephesians 6 concerning the gospel armor? First, draw your strength from God. When you please God, it brings blessings. Let's talk about this ministry for a little bit. Why are we so blessed? And I think anyone, that should be pretty obvious to them, that a small church in Northwest Arkansas now has a multi-million dollar budget a year. And hey, we didn't arrange it. He did. Because we were willing to serve Him and let Him be the head and say, Father, Your plan is good enough for us. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. You see, many times people like to... It's one of those things you've got to watch real closely.
Well, I have some ideas of my own. I'd like to get my name tagged onto those, copyright them, you know, and get out here and show people what a big person I am. What a wise person I am. And probably they're so unhappy that they don't know to come in out of the rain. Sad, because they missed it. They missed
how you please your Father, for from that comes all blessings. That's why we are blessed. Am I saying we're perfect? Far be it from that. But at least we let that be our standard. We let Christ be our standard. His word be the word that we feed the people. Not our words. Not some plan of some man. But the living word of God. When you please your Father, you are blessed. You're blessed with more wisdom. You're blessed with more knowledge. And you are blessed with a wisdom that even in daily life, you can handle whatever situation comes along. And you're going to have situations. If you serve God, you're going to have trouble. But trouble is no problem to a servant of God. Life would be pretty boring if you got up in a rose garden every morning and went all day long and went to hit the sack at night and all you'd smell was roses. No lilacs, no cuckleburrs, no careless weeds. You know, they throw off a little odor in your life too. But it makes life interesting. So don't fear or draw back from a challenge. God, you know what? God is watching you at a time like that. Just like he did old Job. I want to show you what my kids can do. Have you ever seen a parent at a ball game? Or I wish you could have seen some of the faces of the parents that their little ones were up here singing, doing such a beautiful job. That's my little angel. And they are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. But God takes pride in you. Don't let him down. And naturally, if you do something that it pleases him, don't you think inasmuch as he owns the whole world that he's going to bless you? Of course he is. All these things, if you do this, all these things will be added on to you. Now, let's go back to square one about a person. I don't care how intelligent you are in this world, gifted in things of the world, how successful. If you have not found peace of mind, you've been robbed. And you're not too swift. And it just could be that this gift you have that made you successful in the world, you haven't given God credit for it, and maybe you've taken credit for it for yourself. Did you ever think about that? A truly gifted person is always gifted from God. And if that person refuses or fails to give God credit for it, for having given the gift, they're not going to be blessed all that much because they're kind of running on borrowed fuel, if you know what I mean, from the power of God. And they're not going to be happy. Just not going to be. Again, you know, you can teach a monkey to push buttons, but it's hard to teach a monkey, well, it isn't, to feel the emotions of God. Quite frankly, he can feel them probably before a lot of people can. Animals are very sensitive to the Spirit. Okay, enough said. Question, how do you please your Father? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, back to basics. And Father's Day is a good day to go back to basics. To stop, to meditate, to get your head out of the clouds, out of the world, and think on your Father's Word. Second Corinthians chapter 6, how are we pleasing to our Father? Verse 1, and it reads, we then, as workers, and I want you to underline that word, as workers, not believers, not faith bearers, workers, together with him, he's your partner. Beseech ye also, you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, what is grace? It's favor. You receive a favor from God. Don't let it just go to waste. All right? Don't let it be for nothing. That's what vain is. If God gives you a gift and you don't use it, guess what? Me or somebody else is going to end up with it. All right? Because God doesn't mess around with people that are not workers. Well, it's just faith. Work, all right? How do you work? Well, that's what the Word is for, is to teach you how to be pleasing to God too. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. That's a legal term meaning I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so it is. The price has been paid. All you have to do is repent and say, Father, I'm open to you. I love you. I want to serve you. And don't think I'm trying to say, well, everybody should be a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist. No, it's not so. We're one body. And a body's got to have a lot of parts, or it's just a big mouth running around here somewhere, like, say, if it's the mouth. Well, a mouth doesn't get along too good by itself. It doesn't have arms to feed itself, and maybe that's a poor analogy, but be that as it may, we're one body. And your seed planting, it may be one individual. You might say, well, I only converted one, but that one might convert 10 million. You don't know. You get the credit. If you're one body, by that I mean one entity, which is to say the body of Christ, I don't care how many people that our television ministry brings into the truth, you get just as much credit for it as I do. Did you hear what I said? You get just as much credit as I do. Because I know if I happen to have a gift, I know where it came from, and I know it's not me, but the gift he gave me. And he gives you gifts. And from that comes blessings. So, he provided. What is this time? It was the time the price was paid. And whenever it touches your heart, that is to say the Holy Spirit, it's your time. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything. Don't cause people to stumble. Boy, you know, that's a problem for me. It really is, because sometimes you can try to help people, and ultimately you may not be communicating with them, and you might hurt them. They might misunderstand you. So at least run one temperature all the time. Don't be hot one day and cold the next, or all for God one day and maybe not so much the other. Just find your speed and stay in it. All right? There are times to be gentle, and there are times to be stern. But stay in God's Word. Don't wishy-washy. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't like people that are wishy-washy. He will not bless you if you're wishy-washy. Don't cause people to stumble in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And the ministry can be blamed. Many people blame the ministry, especially Satan. You know something? He's not proud of this ministry at all. You know something? Satan's not proud of you. But then there's another verse to that song. Who cares? Okay? Who cares? I don't. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad I'm not number one in his book, at least for praises. But anyway, try as best you can to set an example. And the easiest way to protect your credibility is to use discernment and common sense. Now, if you want to lose your credibility real quick, get out in boom boom land somewhere and get away from God's Word, and you'll be shucked like an old corn cob and ready for the roaster. How easy some people can be deceived, and they think in their minds they're right. We see a lot of that in this nation today. 4. But in all things, how many? All things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. How about when you get real distressed, are you a minister for God? Do you think about God? Sometimes that's the only time people do think about God, when they're really stretched out. Oh, God, help me. You know, really the only time they talk to Him. Never quite get around to saying, I love you on a beautiful day like today. Okay? And your family as well. In other words, there are things that are natural in this life that are common to man that you need. And sometimes they may not be too pleasant. But be patient. I'm going to repeat that. Be patient in God, all right? Much patience. Verse 5, in stripes. Yeah, I mean, if you teach the real word, and you're going to get some stripes. I guarantee you. You should read some of my mail from wonderful clergy. I think I'm going to start a fan club, only the other kind, you know. I get some doozies. I'm real popular with them, but it's not in the way a lot of ministers would like to be. But praise God, there are more of them. The ministers like a teacher, all right? They do, and they listen to teachers. And many times when I get a scorching, scathing stripe, in about 3 months, hey, you're all right. Well, it's not me that's all right. It's the Word that's all right, okay? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. That means sleepless nights and kind of hungry sometimes. I mean, you can get down there where the rubber meets the road and life can be rough. You may be worried about making the old house payment. Don't. Just keep plowing. You'll have a good crop if you're doing it for Him. You can believe that. You can have faith in that. The biggest waste of time is worry. And that is not to say that meditating and using common sense to make things work is not worry. All right? But God didn't say, it's all going to be a bed of roses for you if you serve me, if you work for me. Things are going to go wrong. Settle that in your mind. Verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge. Accept this now. By long-suffering. That's patience. By kindness. By the Holy Spirit. By love unfeigned. That means unhidden. Let it show. Verse 7. By the word of truth, let that settle in. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, that means justification. Justify yourself, justify your family life. If it's broke, fix it. If it ain't broke, then don't fix it. Right? Love it. Righteousness on the right hand and on the left. When you put on the armor of righteousness, what do you have in your right hand? The sword. What is the sword? It's the word of the Lord. What do you have in your left hand? The shield. What is the shield? Your faith. Do you have it? That's saying, do you believe or do you not? Do you trust the word after you've meditated and have gone back to the original languages and satisfied yourself that this is what the Lord said or His prophet said? Verse 8, by honor and dishonor. You're going to get some of both. By evil report and good report. Some people, if you hold the same temperature, study pace, that is to say, stick with God's word, there are some people going to curse you and there are some people going to praise you. Don't let either of them bother you a great deal. Be comfortable with it, though very difficult. No one likes to be not believed by someone when you're trying to help them. But it works that way. Don't stumble. Because when you stumble, you'll cause others to stumble. Stay focused on what? Him. Okay, evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true. You'll be called a deceiver if you teach the truth. But some will say, that's God's truth. It shouldn't affect you. What am I saying and what is He saying? He's saying life isn't like you're a lily in a hothouse, protected from the east wind or the cold nights of the winter. He didn't create you. He didn't make you that way. He didn't form you that way. He gave you, built in right here, the ability to withstand outside pressures of this world, or He would never have placed you here. The trouble is, are you wise enough to take charge of it? Or do you just kind of float around? Well, I don't know. You'll have to answer that. 9. As unknown, That is to say, by the world, certainly, and yet well known. By who? By God. You're His worker. You're His child. As dying into the flesh, we should. That's pretty hard sometimes to get the old flesh to just die and let the spiritual take over, you know. And behold, we live. Why? We have eternal life. As chastened, this really rather, it means injured just a little bit and not killed. That hurt my feelings. I wish you hadn't said that. Well, poor baby. Okay? Poor baby. Well, God strengthens, you know, if you just be patient a minute and say, that hurt my feelings. Well, don't reply back necessarily if it does no good. All right? It does no good to reply back when it's not going to help. Wait until the acceptable time and then reply. You know, you have to figure these things out. And I'll tell you a real good yardstick to use. If it works, it's good. All right? You got the handle. If you correct someone or help someone and it works, that's a good thing. And I'm talking about family even here. But if you pick, if you think this is a good time and you start to correct and wow, I mean the cat jumps out of the box. You were wrong. That was not the right time, okay? So you mark that in your little book and say, aha, me smart now. Me know when acceptable time. Well, I almost got into dialect the old Marine Corps used to use, and there's nothing racial about that, trust me. It's just the way things go, all right? Now, verse 10, as sorrowful, well, we can, you know, you can have some bad things happen in your life, and it's all right to weep. Yet, always rejoice, always rejoice. Count your blessings, don't overlook them, even when you're sorrowful. As poor, yet making many rich. It should make you happy to make others rich. In what way? As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You can be penniless. Now hear me, this is a true saying. You can be penniless. And if you work for the Father, spiritually you can have everything plus pennies as well, because God's going to bless you. Your soul belongs to Him, and He loves you. No question about that. He loves you, and He's going to touch everything you do. And sometimes it may be, you may pick up 10, what do I want to use? I started to say bolts because I was plowing yesterday, nuts rather. But I'm going to say you can pick up 10 golf balls. And the 10th one might be red hot just to get your attention. Right? Just to let you know that you're supposed to be being aware and sensitive to things. He really... Do you know the reason He gave you a mind? He wants you to use it, in other words, to be aware, to be alert, to understand not just big things. That's, you know, man just kind of gets to me sometimes. Some men like to say, I just have time to worry about the big things. Big things, big time, Charlie. You know, I mean, after all, look at my place and stature in life. It's the little things that'll get you, man. It's the little things that will cause you not to be a good father on Father's Day or any other day. The little things such as people's feelings and so forth. Be aware of it. Back off sometimes and close in at other times and love and hold. Pick the time. Have compassion. I don't know if anybody needs... This is not what I planned at all, but it's coming out pretty good, isn't it? I'll just keep plowing here, okay? I'm going to be on a guilt trip up here in a minute and maybe just start bawling like a baby on y'all. I'm just thinking of a lot of things I haven't been as sensitive as I should be to, okay? It's sure working for me. I hope it is somebody else. 10. All right. O ye Corinthians... Our mouth is open unto you. In other words, we're not holding any truth back from you. Our heart is enlarged. We love you. We really do. 12. Ye are not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. In other words, the thing that stresses our friendship isn't from us, it's from within you. That's what he's saying. Inner emotion. My friends, always check your inner self out. What kind of person are you to your family? Think about it. That's what makes a relationship. What type person? Because you know what? When we love somebody, we get real sloppy about saying, well, they're mine. If I want to treat them that way, you know, they understand me. I don't have to worry about how they feel about me. Well, you should. You really should. Now, that's just a natural thing. Don't think it's any big deal. It's just you. It's just a natural thing that you expect more out of people you love. But they got feelings, too. Just remember that. And I can say that again. You can't expect more out of them because they'll stick with you when you stick with them. 13. Now for a recompense in the same. This is how you can pay me back, old Paul said. I'm going to just put this right down where the road. This is how you can pay me back. I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Return our love. All right? 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Well, you're going to walk in the dark. You're going to be in the dark, but you look at the light. You can handle it. By that I mean the prince of darkness is in charge basically of this world. Now, he is allowed. You were sent here by your father, your soul was, and he knew you could handle the dark. Or you wouldn't be here. But you have to work at it. That pleases your father. Boy, it makes him as proud of you as if some little leaguer just put one over the fence to its parents. That's the way he feels about it. All right. Verse 15. And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You worship with any infidels? Well, what's an infidel? Somebody ignorant? Telling stories? Now, everybody likes to meditate, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a big difference in worshiping with an infidel and listening to him. Hey, you can listen to anybody, but have enough sense to know an infidel when you hear one. Bunch of nonsense, gibberish. All right? Because if it doesn't align with God's Word, that's exactly what it is. Well, are you singling out certain religions? You've never heard me say a word against any specific religion. They're like cows. I don't care. You got good ones and you got bad ones, okay? By that I mean in every group, there are good people and there's troublemakers. In every church, just about, you know, over a period of time. Because any Christian organization that tries to serve God, don't talk against them. They're Christian. They're trying to be. Were you perfect or are you now? I think not. Okay? Do you know everything? I sure don't. I'm trying. There is no agreement between Christ and Satan. So when you begin to get out into that crowd that will be deceived, or if you take your mind off what you're supposed to have it on, then be careful, friend. You live in a generation that could cost a great deal. 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Question, listen. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. I repeat, in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. All souls are mine. That's what he says again in the book of Ezekiel. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He will do what? Did it say, if you touch the unclean thing, I will receive you? No, it didn't say that. And what are we talking about touching here? With your mind. Do you know what you believe? Do you know the foundations and the basics of God and the things that please Him? Or do you fly with infidels? I don't know. You know, I don't. If you touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, both sexes there, saith the Lord Almighty. He is our Father. And He is mindful of you, but He does have rules and regulations. And in this time, you can be in a bunch of nonsense if you're not careful, if you start dealing with traditions of men and science fiction. And if you allow somebody to play with your mind into basic principles that break God's laws, they don't exist, right? God's law is very natural. In other words, gravity is gravity. And as long as we have gravity, well, we find that in other parts of the world, He has made things that have a tremendous amount of density compared to anything we have here. If you don't believe that, whip into the little comet shop out of Winslow there and try to pick up a piece of that stone that meteorite or comet. I get it mixed up. Comet, I guess. Is it meteorite or comet, David? Meteorite, yeah. Try to pick that sucker up, you know, and you'll think, oh boy, it pays a lot more attention to gravity than I do. Well, it does, all right. God's law runs true. And if you're the type of person that somebody can toy with your mind over God's law, you might better hold a little inventory, because you might be trying to have a little commerce with you know who, and your father doesn't like it. Now that's the New Testament. How about the Old? How do we know if we're wise in our own families that we can be considered by our Father as a wise person that can handle what He has? Because God won't give you any more than you can take care of. Did you know that? God is not going to trust you with more than you can take care of. If you don't have nothing, you might ought to take inventory. There could be a reason. God don't trust you. All right? And start getting on your prayer cloth a little bit. Oh, mercy. You don't need a prayer cloth. All right? Just talk to Him. All right? And ask Him what's wrong, and you do a little meditating on what's wrong. And then the Father will bless you. You've got to please God before He's going to bless you. All right, let's go to Proverbs. Oh, I love Proverbs. Old Testament, does it say the same thing? Proverbs, what chapter do we want here? I think it's 6. And I can't seem to get out of Psalms here. I think that was for Tease and Ike about the songbook. No, we want Proverbs 3, half that, okay? And I'm going to just start reading here. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, now this is your father. Let this be your father talking to you. My son, and there's no gender here, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You guard it in your mind. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Do you have peace in your family? Do you have peace in your life? Well, think about it. What did He say would fix it? His Word. His instructions. Verse 3. In other words, long life, you eat right the way He tells you to, you're going to be healthy. All right? 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Think about that. Lock that in your mind. Write them upon the table of thine heart or your mind. Write it there. Focus on it. Don't let something pull you astray. What do you put around your neck? A little locket with honey's picture in it so you don't forget honey? Well, do the same with God's Word. I mean, some people go literally with this, you know, and they'll wear a scripture. Boy, I feel like I need to be saved today, so I'll wear John 3:16 tucked away around my neck. You know, I know nobody. Does somebody really do that? Well, in the old times they did, because many of the artifacts we find were just such an object. Bind them. Don't forget them. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Boy, that is a powerful statement. Listen to it. Do you want to find favor in God's sight? Do you want to please Him? That means insight. And beloved, you've got to have insight to beat the system, all right, of Satan's world. You've got to have insight. That comes from God's Word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. Boy, that will, and discernment. That will get you in trouble quicker than anything. Check your father out first. That's why you have him, and see if it flies. And I guarantee you, if it's not according to his word, it'll be like an old wounded duck. It'll just, ruptured duck. It'll just come tumbling down. All right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Recognize him. Give him credit. That's our Father. And he shall direct thy paths. That's what makes the difference, beloved. You've got to believe that and you've got to know that. When you meditate, when you study his word, instead of wandering into some lion's den or pit, he's going to direct your path to riches and success. You can handle it then. But until you recognize that God, you can trust Him, then you walk into the riches rather than the thicket. 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. In other words, recognize the fact that wisdom comes from your Father, and you've got the set of instructions right here. Fear the Lord. That means love Him, revere Him, better translated, and depart from evil. As best you can while you're in these old flesh bodies. 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Do you know what that says? The navel means what used to be connected to your navel? The umbilical cord. All right? Life. It means the health of your entire body from body to body, to umbilical cord to umbilical cord. And the marrow means it moistens, it wets the bone in your very body. What does? The dew from heaven, God's truth, will give you finances, good judgment, insight. Do you know what insight is? Insight is that little piece of property that somebody sold down the way there for half what it was worth, but somebody beat you to it. Or a car that somebody just almost gave away, but somebody else beat you to it. God, I believe this with all my heart, that God gives certain people insight if He wants to help them. Why? He can trust you with it, because you can take care of it after you have it, after it's yours. Okay, so it strengthens your very body, giving you that insight, okay? 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out. That means they'll overflow with new wine. 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You better thank him for it, because you're about to get in trouble if he doesn't correct you. Many times people will say, well, I wonder what went wrong with that. It's God talking to you. You messed up. Get your focus back on Him. And then He'll trust you with more. But until then, friend, you messed up. He corrects you. Do you correct your children? Do you correct your employees? If one of them's about to really get in trouble, where you're going to have to can them or something, do you give them any warning? Right? Of course, if you love them and they're worthwhile, you're going to do it. Well, God does you too. He corrects you. Don't dread correction. Thank Him for it. 12. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. It's just that simple. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. If God's delighted in you, He's going to correct you. All right? And we need it. You know it. None of us are perfect. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Do you know why? You know why you're happy? Because you got a peaceful home. You got a peaceful neighborhood. Well, you don't know my neighborhood. Well, move out. A wise man will move out of that sucker. All right? You know, you don't have to stay hooked up. Or a wise man, if he's strong enough, can change it. You know what I mean? You just, hey, you make your own bed regardless of how you want to put stuff off on neighborhoods, cities, or towns, or people. You're putting it off on somebody else. The trouble is right, is standing right above your 2 feet. If you're standing, it is. That's your trouble. Wisdom from Father's Word corrects all things, or He corrects it for you. Choice is yours. Okay, 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof as fine gold. In other words, if you find wisdom and understanding and insight from God, and He's guiding your path, you can be as broke as a boll weevil trying to migrate out of Texas. Because there ain't no cotton hardly north of the Dixon line. And He's going to starve. But if you serve God and find that way, He's going to add all those things on to you. Pretty soon you're going to say, huh. And I really probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I didn't know making money was so easy. I didn't know that you could accidentally make more money than just if you trust God and you really use this brain. And then sometimes when you turn this way, I didn't know I could lose money so fast. That's when you get good, all right? When you get so good that you know how to pick a winner in the stock market, you know, God kind of says, hey, you ain't so good, friend. You left me out of that choice. Bingo! You know, only somebody else is the one that bingoed. Did anybody need that? I didn't. Okay? Here we go. 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Boy, when you love your Father, and when you follow Him, and when He blesses you, it's so beautiful. What a joy. Length of days is in her right hand. That's her, what's the right hand? Power. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You're going to have your problems, but overall, you're going to have peace. All right? 18. She is a tree of life. That's Christ. To them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her, that meditates on her. This doesn't turn you into a sugar-sweet individual that's just kind of sick and sweet. Turns you into a regular child of God that He loves and that follows Him. The Lord by wisdom... Now, what? The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Think about that. Can you handle that thought seriously? By wisdom. And I'll say something in a moment. By understanding hath He established the heavens. He prepared our eternal place by understanding. Isn't understanding great? By wisdom, He created the earth. And do you know what? I'll bet you it was a very natural thing. Not some supernatural thing as you might think. I'll bet He created it in a very natural way. If you understood gases and so on and so forth. Just a very natural phenomena. Why do I say that? Because our God is supernatural. Okay? That's wisdom. And He uses it. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up. And the clouds drop down the dew. The earth is perennial. It takes care of itself year after year because He created it so that it waters itself regardless of how man tries to mess it up. And this applies to you also. He created your soul. You belong to Him. And regardless of how man tries to mess you up, God will take care of you. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. It's the powerhouse of the world. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Remember I told you to mark that word neck? What? Wisdom and knowledge. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You got a bad habit of stumbling? Listen to this. 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. If you trust God and you know what this word says the future is, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Why? You love Him and you know He's on guard when you sleep. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Now, sudden fear is a natural thing. Right? You don't have to be afraid of sudden fear. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. That's to say, the desolation, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. You don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of you. Don't you know He is our Father and that He cares about you? Sudden fear is, I bet almost everyone in this room at some time, and I'm not really a betting man, and I'll never get much of a chance, all right? I'm kidding, okay? I bet there's not too many people in this room that some point in their life that something happened, and it happened so fast, and your car was in a certain place, or your airplane was in a certain place, and zippo, it just all worked out, and you were cruising on down the road about to have a heart attack, you know? How did I miss? Or how did God give me those words? Or how did this happen? Or how did that happen? Surely somebody was looking out for me. You got it. You got it. When you're in good standing with Him. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Whew. Think about that. And shall keep thy foot from being taken. Nobody's going to take you. Why? You're a child of God. And God's in control. Now, in closing, and have I got long? No, I didn't get too long-winded, did I? In closing, what are you supposed to be doing? It's right here. All those things are basics. What are you supposed to be doing right now? Well, I could mention the 24th chapter of Matthew. It tells you all about it. But I'm not going to use that part about it, how some of you are going to be delivered up. What the seven things that are the seven trumpets, and they're happening right now. You're supposed to have those up here and have them locked in. But what are you supposed to be doing? Do turn with me to Matthew 24. Only about three or four more verses, and we're there. Matthew chapter 24. To please God is to be blessed of God. We are in the generation of the parable of the fig tree. I think all of you know that. That happened in 1948 when part of Judah went back to Israel, even along with the bad fruit. That is so simple. Now, here's what you're supposed to be doing. Who then is a faithful, I'm sorry, this is verse 45. Verse 45 of chapter 24, the book of Matthew. Who, and after all those things of the trumpets and everything else have been spoken, you do want to be a faithful, wise servant, right? That's what we've been talking about. 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat, underline it, meat in due season. What season? The season of the fig tree. Now, that's why God blesses this ministry. He didn't say, give them pablum. He didn't say, pass out the Pampers to them. You know, unpotty trained Christians. He said, give them meat. Meat from the Word of God. That's why this ministry is blessed, quite frankly. Many people say, you can never... I know some of the most famous television ministers in the country have said, you cannot stay on the airways by simply teaching God's Word, period. You got to have some showmanship. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but you would certainly more than know the name. He is successful because he's a showman. All right. I won't say any more than that. Meat. Meat from what? Meat from God's Word. Blessed. You want to know how to be blessed? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Digging post holes, doing this, out in boom boom land. No, doing what he told you to do. Get the meat out and get it out to the people.
Well, you don't understand. I have grown in the Word until I've educated past and beyond that point. Oh, you poor miserable sucker. You have. And you're still on this earth? Well, bless your little old heart. Your little old wigwam is sure expanded. It's going to pop if you're not careful.
There's nothing wrong with intelligence, but I'm saying when you think you're smarter than God, you're headed for a fall, friend. A heavy, hard fall. Your responsibility is to the people. If you're that smart, you're supposed to be teaching someone, helping someone.
But I don't like to mess with little people. Oh, dear God.
Well, be that as it may. He said, that's what I'm going to find my servants doing. The rest, do you know what he does with them? 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's during the millennium. There's no gender within that. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, it ain't going to happen. 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. That means the infidel. 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Why? Get sidetracked. I mean, Father laid it out so well in this 24th chapter that no one should be sidetracked, but some will be. You know what he'll do with that one? And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Do you know what hypocrites are? That word in the Greek is play actors. And they're playing church, friend. Be careful. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a disappointment that would be. How do you avoid that? Back to basics. Stay with God's Word. Dig into it. Let him know that you love him. Hey, do you know what the real Father's Day is?
Well, yeah, if you're talking about our real Father.
Well, do you know he has a day named as his Father's Day? He does. There's the Lord's Day and there's God's Day. If God is your Father, then Father's Day is the day that his Son returns and finds his servants passing out the meat. Something that will stick to somebody's ribs. Make them happy at home. Give them success. Prosper them. And make them a real joy to be around most of the time. Okay? Most of the time. Let's face it. We're in the flesh and all of us are hard to get along with sometimes. So don't be disappointed with your mate just because a little fur might fly every once in a while. Why did I say that? This keeps working into this sermon today, and I don't know why. Now, maybe I'm picking on fathers today, not ours, okay? He's doing a fantastic job. But let's just all remember, love from our Father, correctly returned, pays dividends. I'm uncomfortable with the word pays, but I don't know how else to put it at this moment, all the way around. It's his promise, and you can count on it. He is our Father, and he's proud of you. He really blesses you, certainly. And what does that mean? That means you're doing something right. But it doesn't hurt us to go back to the basics and kind of receive more blessings when we're in a position that we can handle more responsibility. Don't worry. He'll give it to you. But not until. Okay, Father, we thank you for the written word. Thank you, Father, for this day. Again, we thank you for being our Father. Father, thank you for protecting us. Thank you for showing us which path to take. Be with us. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.